Hello, everybody. I am Bobby. I'm a compulsive eater, and I will be sharing some of my experience, strength, and hope here tonight. I started in program in about 2008. It took me 2 years to get what I will call some semblance of abstinence. It wasn't very good to start with. I'd be good a couple of days and then lose it and spend another couple of days. So it took a while to really get abstinence to stay. If there's a food behavior, I've done it. Binging, purging, food restricting, grazing. I jokingly like to say I've lost 1,000 pounds because of gaining 20 here, losing 20, gaining 30, losing 30, up and down and up and down. I have been maintaining about a 60-pound weight loss since I did become abstinent. My story is no different than anybody else's. I started out not liking meat, not liking vegetables. The only thing I wanted to eat was carbs and sugar. I would sneak. I'd eat it out of the trash. I loved when I went away to college because I did not have to go to the dining hall and eat real food. I just ate for 4 years out of vending machines. And thank goodness I was doing a lot of walking, so the weight didn't pile on until after I got out of school. What I want to talk about is how I worked my program and how I work it now. And I would say the thing that really got me started towards a steady abstinence was an action plan. Now, back when I started using the action plan didn't exist as a tool. Somebody at a Winter Dreams retreat handed me a photocopied page that had things that you could do during the day, planning your food, gratitudes, serenity prayer. And it's everything that's now in the Region 7 Action Plan book. And I took that, and that's how I started working my program. To me, that was key for my survival in program. And the reason for that is that I needed to make program fit into my life. At that point, my life was so busy, there really wasn't time for God or program. Anything. And by using the action plan, I made it part of my life. And I jokingly will say that when you get up in the morning, you comb your hair, you brush your teeth, you go to the bathroom. What happens if you don't do those things in the morning? Well, for one or two, you may get sick. And it was the same thing to me. If I didn't get up in the morning and do program, just as habitually as I brushed my teeth, I was going to fail. So I used that action plan to fit program into my life. That meant I had to get up an hour earlier in the morning to do some of the things I needed to do. That meant I had to go to bed an hour earlier if I could in order to fit program into my life. And now I can't say I don't think about it, but the tools are a habit in my life. I do them without thinking. I get out of bed. The first thing in the morning, I'd like to say God first, program second, but unfortunately my dogs make themselves first. So I take care of my dogs when I get up in the morning. Then I actually pray and meditate. Then I reach out to my sponsor via an email, and then I take care of me. Then I comb my hair. Then I brush my teeth. Then I eat my planned breakfast, and then I start my life. Now, why is it so important to do this first thing in the morning, my prayer, my meditation, reaching out to my sponsor? I need to set the intention for the day. And that is really important too. If I don't set the intention to be abstinent for the day, and I commit to my sponsor every single day to be abstinent, I forget it. I have said before in other times that I've spoke that if I ask you all, how many red cars did you see today? Can you tell me how many you saw? No, but now that I've asked you how many red cars you saw, if you were to go out and drive now, you'd see those red cars. You may not remember how many you saw, but you'd start noticing red cars. So my setting the intention in the morning and making that commitment to my sponsor sticks in my mind throughout the day. So it's really important for me as far as that goes. After I finish with my sponsor, and taking care of myself, I'll reach out to my sponsees. And typically that's where my reading and writing comes in now. In the beginning, I was reading and writing, going through the steps, reading any kind of OA literature I could get my hands on so I could understand the program. Now, typically, most of the reading comes from a daily reader, and I have a couple of sponsees that we both write back and forth to each other as to what the reading meant to us. So that's how we do our reading and writing. I attend meetings regularly. In the beginning, when I was struggling, I went to a meeting every single day, and that was before Zoom. So those were live meetings. That was very important to me. To keep, again, the intention in my mind. And back then it was really good because most of my eating problems were at night. So if I went to a meeting at night, by the time I got home, I was tired and just went to bed. It kept me out of the kitchen. So the meetings were, again, a valuable tool that helped me to work my program. Now, for me, the key is the steps. The tools helped me to get abstinent, but I will call it a white knuckled abstinent because the cravings were still there. I had to avoid certain stores. I couldn't go down certain aisles because I would see things and they would call to me. The steps gave me, and I like to call it remission instead of recovery, because any moment, any day, with one bite, I've lost it. So it's not recovered, so to speak, in my mind. But as long as I'm taking my medicine, which is working program, working the steps, I'm in remission. And it is one day at a time. If I don't take my medicine, I've lost it. So the steps were key for me. My spiritual beliefs are a little different. I'm a Buddhist, and I struggled with the steps as they're written. So I have to say that I had to sort of reword the steps into my own words. And that was not that there's anything wrong with those words, but I needed to think of the steps in terms that motivated me to work them. And especially the first three steps, I see the steps 1, 2, and 3 are the foundation of program. There's really no action that I had to take, but I had to internalize those steps, and especially step 1, 100%. I sort of feel like step 2 and 3 had to come 100% also, or else I wouldn't have moved on to the rest of the steps. Steps 4 through 9 were the work. That is when I got recovery or remission, if as I would call it. I hit step 10, and that spiritual transformation that the big book talks about hit. I can't tell you when or why, but I do remember telling my sponsor, I need to sponsor. I need to be a sponsor. I need to take sponsees. So that was the first sign that need to pay it forward, that something had changed in me. And that hit me at step 10. So it took me working through all the steps before that aha hit. Now steps 1, 2, and 3, the way I actually look at step 1, I'm multi-addicted. It's not just food that's my problem. I have an addictive personality. So to me, step 1 is that I am powerless over food. I'm powerless over drink. I'm powerless over fun. I'm powerless over games. I'm powerless over shopping, blah, blah, blah. I'm powerless over everything. I can become addicted to anything. So that my real problem is life. I don't know, didn't know how to cope with life, and I hid from it in my addictions. So I am powerless over life being unmanageable. Now, I had to accept that 100%. If I didn't accept that life was causing me problems, I'd still find some other addiction to hide in. So 100%, I had to accept that. Now, the other thing is my life's unmanageable. And what I had to also accept, thank you, is that it's always going to be. Life is never going to be what I want it to be. I can't control it. So I had to put on my big girl panties, so to speak, accept that life was always going to be unmanageable. And with the help of the steps, bring my higher power into my life. And if I wasn't willing to accept that, life was going to kill me. I was sure of it. One of those addictions would kill me. So step two is that I came to believe that I have no power. I am not in charge. So I needed a power greater than myself. So that's what I will say to myself every time my feathers get ruffled and powerless over life. I'm not in charge. And now that takes me right away to step three. Step three is that I made a decision to turn my will over to a higher power. Now, why can't I turn my will over? Well, at step three, I haven't gone through 4 through 9 yet. I am unable to turn my will over to God because I have too many defects. They're all blocking me. And even now, I get up in the morning or I wake up in the morning and I sit there and I feel great and I'm very willing to turn my will over to my higher power. And then I step out of bed and it goes away. So I have to do the step three continuously, realizing that life is unmanageable, that I'm not in charge. I have to be willing to turn myself, my will over to higher power. Now, what does that mean to me? It means I'm willing to do the rest of the steps. I'm willing to look for my part in things. I'm willing to take whatever action I need to take that would make my higher power pleased with me, to continue to help me and support me through life. I'm willing to do what I can, because I do have to take some actions by working step 4 and 5, telling somebody else what's going on. That's the action I have to take to see my part in things. And then higher power makes the miracle happen and does the heavy lifting to take that out of my life, so to speak. Until I get through steps 4 through 9, like I said, my ego is going to block me. So this is a continuous effort that I have to make, not just once a day. At the end of the day, I have to, throughout the day, look at what I'm doing, become more aware of when my behavior's not suiting me well. And the tools, and they're not tools, they're part of step 11, but to me, there were tools that I used throughout working all the steps, were prayer and meditation. Prayer and meditation helped me work through these steps, and especially meditation helped me become more aware of when these things in my life got on my nerves. And that, okay, if something's getting on my nerves, I have a defect out and about. And I had to realize that, okay, stop blaming other people for how I feel. My feelings are mine. If whatever I thought other people were doing to me was really universal, everybody'd think the same way about it, but they don't, do they? People see things differently. So what I perceive as somebody coming after me or attacking me or bothering me is coming from me. And I have to work the steps to deal with that and get through that. So each day I wake up, I accept and surrender that life is not manageable, that I am not in charge, And I am willing to work the rest of the steps in order to be able to deal with life. So that's my story. Thank you very much for listening to it. And now I guess we're open for sharing.